Hey, it's Tony and Jenny Brewski from Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like this show, please consider helping us keep it on the air by becoming an EPP, that's an extra podcast person. You get a ton of bonus episodes and a brand new one every single week and exclusive video content as well.
It's only $5 a month and you can sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com.
Without our EPPs, this show could not go on and our expenses to keep the show going continue to go up. So if you like it and you want it to continue into the future, please consider signing up at realghoststoriesonline.com. Get all of those exclusives. I can guarantee you will absolutely love them.
Thanks for helping keep Real Ghost Stories Online on the air.
If you're already an EPP, thank you so much for the support. If you're not and you've been thinking about signing up, please do so now and allow us to continue to do this show for you every single day. Sign up to be an EPP on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And thank you so much for the support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's show, a trip to Mexico is unnerving when strange occurrences happen at the hotel. Could the shadow person that now stalks a listener's home be the neighbor that recently died tragically? A child of an apartment complex manager knows all the stories of the haunted apartments. And after trying to reconcile with an angry spirit, one listener receives a final message loud and clear. Those stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hi.
I always wonder if apartments are like some of the most haunted buildings, especially older ones. Because essentially, you know, you got like, you know, depending how big the building is, you could have 30, 40, 50, 60 residences, homes that are individual and unique and all in one single building. You know, if you go to a neighborhood and you have 60 homes, I think your odds are probably pretty good that one of them is haunted.
I think it's a lot of the same energy as you would find in a college dorm.
Sure.
So I would think since we find dorms are kind of a hotbed, that maybe apartments would be kind of a hotbed too.
Or anything. I mean, that makes sense. Almost, you know, hospitals, nursing homes, institutions of any sort where it's multiple rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, hotels seem to be a hotbed, even though they're kind of quick in and out things. But, you know, they you know, there's a lot of, you know, excitement and energy a lot of times, or negativity, you know, in places like that where it's very condensed.
Yeah.
You know, if you will. And it's leaving its imprint, you know, over the setting that it's on.
Sure.
And then it tends to linger. Did you have to let it linger?
Oh, that's good.
Did you have to? Did you have to?
Thank you, Cranberries.
Did you have to let it linger? Never liked the Cranberries all that
much. I love the Cranberries. Yeah.
There was one or two songs I liked, but the, was it the Linger? What was the end song where it sounded almost like bad yodeling?
I don't know. Stop it. I don't know.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. It's a line to the Cranberries. Are they still around? Do they still do anything?
I don't know.
I wonder. That's something to Wikipedia. If you will, on the wonderful world of Wikipedia. Let's kick off the show today with a letter. Is this Isleen?
Eileen.
Eileen? That's how you spell Eileen?
No, that's a different way to spell Eileen. It's Eileen spelled like island with an I-S.
Ah, that's neat.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Okay. Hello, Jenny and Tony. This is Eileen from Texas. When I was younger, my sister and I would go visit our aunt and uncle in Mexico City over summer vacation. My uncle has a job that requires him to travel a lot, so he would tag along for free road trips. My aunt would sometimes come, but not all the time. His job involves agriculture, so he checks out farms and plantations, which are normally out in the country. So we would normally stay in locally owned hotels or bed and breakfast types of hotels in the closest village or small city. One of those hotels, I believe, is where we encountered something paranormal. In this specific trip, my aunt came along. My uncle had left to go to a farm and told us to get ready in the meantime, so When he comes back, we could all go have dinner and explore the town. The hotel where we were staying didn't offer suites or rooms with three beds. My aunt and uncle wouldn't sleep in the same bed in hotels because they're both big people and usually the beds are full size only. So we stayed in two separate rooms, but they were connected through a door in between both rooms. I decided to take a shower first in the room that was my sister's and mine. I locked the door to the restroom so I could take a shower. As I was in the shower, the doorknob started shaking as if someone was trying to open it. I yelled, "Hold on, I'm in the shower." And the knob kept shaking. So I repeated myself louder, thinking she didn't hear. I hurried up and got out of the shower and opened the door. I asked, "What is it?" As I opened the door, but stopped at mid-sentence to notice there was no one there. I got out of the restroom to find nobody in the bedroom I was showering in. I walked over to the next room and asked my aunt and sister if they were trying to go in the restroom. They both said no. They assured me that they'd been watching TV the whole time. I told them what happened, but was brushed if thinking it might be a wind current or maybe the AC had turned on automatically and that shook the doorknob and didn't think about it. The next morning, we were having breakfast and my uncle said something weird had happened to him. He told us that he was making coffee and the restroom door opened a little bit, causing the ray of sunlight that was going through the crack to become wider. As he continued to wait for the coffee to brew, he said that he heard the door move again and noticed that the ray of sunlight wasn't there anymore. He turned around to see the door completely closed. He walked over to see what could have caused it and said he couldn't find a cause for this event. The server overheard our conversation and asked us in what building we were staying in. The hotel was a small hotel that consisted of three separate double-story buildings and the pool in the middle, and the whole place was surrounded by a large concrete fence. We replied the one on the far back side. He told us that many people have claimed to experience paranormal activity there. And also told us that behind the building on the other side of the fence is a cemetery. After that, we just figured it was probably something or someone playing with the bathroom doors. Thanks for doing the podcast. I love it and will soon become an EPP. Thank you for reading my story.
At least the server was aware of hauntings within the complex.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a server at a haunted hotel that had no idea.
That's true.
Anything had ever happened there or the possibility of it being haunted.
And I can forgive like the not knowing about the haunting part.
Uh-huh.
But it was like, how do you not know that this horrific tragedy took place in your building?
Yeah.
Should we say where? I think it's fine. The restaurant's gone now.
It's Kansas City.
Yeah.
You can Google it.
Yeah. It was a hotel that had a major tragedy there in 70s or 80s.
I want to say 1980, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, it was like right along the turn of that time period. And it was hundreds of people that died.
Close to.
Yeah, in this hotel. And I don't know. I would just think that within your workplace, you'd at least be a little bit aware of that, you know, maybe not, you know, every day thinking about it, but just, you know, somebody asks or, you know, comes up in conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. You would just think they would know, but that's, yeah. I don't know if that's comforting or not when your server says, oh yeah, we get reports of stuff in the building all the time. I think for me personally, it would be kind of validating that, okay, I'm not losing my mind. There's something going on, but then it's kind of like, oh, do I have to spend another night here kind of thing?
Mm-hmm. And my next question would be, so did everybody make it out okay? Did they make it the night? Was there anything else that happened with your guests or?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, in most cases, they live and everything's just fine and dandy. But, you know, in some cases, though, that isn't so much the case. I was just talking with a guest that we're having on the show, and he was telling me about a investigation that he had gone on with about seven or eight people. And one of the investigators got home from the investigation and she was a fairly healthy, you know, early 40-something-year-old woman.
Mm-hmm.
And that night she called several of the other investigators from her home.
Mm-hmm.
Her home was not the place being investigated. saying that she was seeing a dark, shadowy entity, which was similar to what was being reported at the place they're investigating, at her home, that it had followed her there. And she had never had anything like that happen before. And she was really concerned about it. And they're like, okay, well, you know, we'll start looking into this, you know, right away and figure out a way to help you rid your home of this. Mm-hmm. She was dead the next morning.
Well, what was the cause of death?
I don't know. I believe I could be wrong, but I think it was just kind of like, a, you know, one of those natural causes things, heart attack, aneurysm, something of that nature. Not, she wasn't like, you know, ripped apart or anything, but she died. And an otherwise fairly healthy person just, and that does happen.
Yeah, yeah.
But just an interesting coincidence,
yeah,
if you will.
No, I didn't know if you meant like it was driving her nuts to the point
where
she was done.
No, I don't believe she did that.
Okay.
No, I believe it was just one of those, she died.
Wow. That's awful.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what kind of scares me about some of those things and about investigating and, you know, getting a little bit too close. Because my question to our guest was, has there ever been a case where you chose not to investigate any further because you didn't want to get any closer to what was going on? And he said, that was the story he told me. He said, and after that, I stopped the investigation. We didn't go back. It was done.
Wow.
So, interesting.
Yeah, very much.
Interesting and disturbing. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Neil writes in, hi, my name is Neil from the Philippines. I've got something quite paranormal, albeit not that scary to share with you, which happened about a year ago. I was 15 then and an average teen that spends most of the time right in front of the computer. I didn't believe in ghosts or the idea of afterlife then, but one night, my opinion of them took a turn. I was having my nightly routine just as any other teen would, which is spending time in the computer playing video. My mom is inside of my room, sound asleep. My aunt and my cousin's kids were in the room right beside mine. The house is a small one, a one-story structure that was undergoing renovation at the time. Some walls were in for replacement, so some parts of the house have a large gap open for anyone to enter. As I said, I was sitting in my desk. It was about 10 in the evening when a strong wind blew through the window. Bothered by it, I closed the glass window on my right and back. The room was a large window with a broken mechanism for closing it. Looking through said window, you could see a faint orange light shining from the neighbor's roof. Minutes passed since the strange wind blew across me. I felt someone was walking past behind me outside the glass window. I looked, and yet there was nothing there. I quickly panned my eyes towards the broken window and saw a shadow watching me. I can distinctly see it was a man with distinct nose and face contours and a pretty slim face. I was stunned and frightened. After what felt like minutes of staring, that shadow walked towards the rear side of my house. I turned off my computer screen, and when I got up, I heard our cat in the back of the house, ragged. To what seemed like someone was there. I slowly woke up my mom, telling her what happened. My aunt woke up due to the noise of my cat. My mom quickly called our town patrols, who patrols the street every night for suspicious activity, thinking it was a criminal. And they arrived about 10 minutes after my mom called. During the time waiting, we had to stick together. One time, we heard some noises at the back as if the cat fought something. When the patrols arrived, they checked every corner. They also checked the roof, only to find nothing. We felt safe and went back to sleep, except for my aunt. Until 3 days after, my aunt came home saying that our neighbor in the back of the house died in a motorcycle accident. She also went on by saying that the person was a regular visitor of the folks in front of our house, and that it might have been the spirit of that person whom I saw going home from visiting our friendly neighbor from the front. She also asked, knowing I saw the shadow face, if I'd like to visit his wake. I didn't go because I was scared. Since then, the broken window was cemented down, and I've not experienced anything paranormal. Thanks for reading my story, and sorry about the writing mishaps. English isn't my primary language. I love your show. Keep up the good work. Neil.
Neil did a really good job on his letter.
He did, yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't think I would be comfortable being in a home where things could just come and go. And then to see something like that, you just know it's going to try and get in.
I'd almost feel more uncomfortable with the window being cemented.
Really?
Just because it's like, oh, there's an escape route I can't take.
You can break a window.
Sure, but then you got to deal with glass and broken glass.
In a fire, you can break a window pretty quick, too.
Sure. Well, then you got to deal with broken glass then, too. And I'm kidding. But I'm not thinking escape route from fire. I'm thinking escape route from the entity.
Oh.
Is what I'm saying.
Sure.
Is I'm sitting in the room on the computer, and I turn around, and it's there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I... Or it's blocking the door or something. And I want to get out of that house.
Yeah.
Windows cemented.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, but I mean, if there's not walls up,
mm-hmm.
Windows kind of pointless anyway.
Yeah, that's true. That's, so. Yeah, that's pretty true. Creepy, creepy story.
Mm-hmm.
Something I would never want to experience. It's interesting. It, you know, it's the timing of all of that with the gentleman dying and then all of that happening.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to brush that away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, interesting stuff. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Please be sure to press the subscribe button, whatever platform it is you listen to us on, iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, Spotify, lots of places where you can find the show these days. You press subscribe, the current shows then go directly to you. It's easy, it's simple, and it helps us grow the show as well. So please consider doing that. Cassie writes in, I've always been very close to the world of the unknown. As a child, I lived in a haunted townhouse. My parents' closet door would open and close at night. The dog would bark down the stairs at nothing. I'd hear footsteps that were not just creaking of the place, but actual step-by-step footsteps that you could hear walking in one direction and then stopping. Images would appear in the mirror that were not there when you turned around. I figured out that there were two spirits there, one good and one bad, and a third that was neither. One spirit was a good spirit in a mirror that was inhabited by the deceased woman it used to belong to, one spirit in a doll, which I will discuss after, and one in the house, which I found out after someone had committed suicide in. There were many strange occurrences in that house, in the townhouse down the way from us at a poltergeist. My dad was the manager of the complex, and so when a couple with a young child came to them and told them that there was a man sitting on their washing machine who appeared, then disappeared, he thought they were nuts. They moved out because of a poltergeist. Until the people who moved in after left half their stuff behind and didn't say a word, just up and left. There's no such thing as a coincidence. So needless to say, I grew up around it. And being someone who has always been in touch with it, as well as living with it, I've had a few experiences. I've seen several ghosts in different forms, from a moving statue to a fog-like image hovering over the bell tower of an old hotel on a clear night, to a full black shadow figure of a man at the entrance to my room. A few months ago, I had a physical encounter, which was very odd. Every time I went to bed after a few months, I'd feel someone petting my head, actually physically touching my head and rubbing back. I could feel my hair moving, and it was really disturbing. After about a week and a half of that and hearing footprints come to my room beforehand and seeing shadows moving around my room at the same time, I had enough, and I verbally out loud told whomever it was to leave me alone. It took a few days, but then they went away. What has me writing on this site is not the encounters I had with ghosts and the paranormal, but the experience I recently had that I just can't decide if it's related. First, you have to understand that I'm obsessive about making my bed every night and making sure it's the way I like it. And like anyone else, I put my sheet on first and then the comforter. I also fold a smaller blanket on the floor at the bottom of my bed, neatly, unless I need it, then fold it up again. This past weekend, I woke up confused because my comforter was on top of me and my sheet on top of the comforter, and it was so neat and tidy. It looked like I hadn't even been sleeping in my bed at all, and the blanket that is usually folded nicely was a mess on the floor. I had been sleepwalking. I've had sleepwalking experiences before, but I remember them and I just walk or talk. I never actually do anything. Last few weeks, I felt a presence in my room and feel someone watching me. So was the complete switch of comforter on the bottom and sheet on top a moment of confusion and I was sleepwalking and just don't remember? Or was it a spirit in my bedroom? On another note about the beginning statements, the ghost in the mirror, I figured out, because when we moved and I felt the one spirit finally gone, I could still feel the other and could always feel it come and go and watch. I moved it to the garage and then there wasn't any more of that. The doll is weird because whatever she is, the room gets colder as long as she is there. The room will turn ice cold until she's removed. I have her in the basement away from the bedrooms and in a closet. The range of whatever follows her is restricted to the presence of the doll. Well, in short, that is what I have to say. So was the sheets being moved by a ghost?
If you can rule out an elaborate prank,
mm-hmm,
being done on you without you waking up in the middle of it, then I would say that's pretty strange. And if, you know, if you've got a history of sleepwalking, I wouldn't think, though, that you would get up and remake your bed in your sleep, but who knows?
Mm-hmm. I think it's pretty bizarre. The part that gets me about this whole story is the doll.
Okay.
It's
your Annabelle thing,
it
isn't
it? It kind of drives me back to that. And I'm, because they asked, are the two related? I'm trying to find the relation,
mm-hmm,
like a direct relation. And I don't know that there is, but it's making me wonder if whatever this is, this entity kind of just resides in that doll. And then comes out and does its other things, but the doll is just kind of its home base.
Yeah.
If you will.
Well, it could be one of the three that she talked about.
Yeah.
So it's hard to know if it's really one of them doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, it sounds like there's been, you know, they've kind of gone their separate ways as life has changed.
Sure.
But the doll's kind of the one that sticks with her because it's moved with her.
Yeah.
So whether or not it is that one or maybe perhaps something else that has come into the picture, that's really hard to know.
It's a creepy story.
Yeah.
No doubt about that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Let's go to a caller. Let's go to Kat and hear your real ghost story. There we go. Hi, Kat.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Kat. I called in a little while ago, but I think my phone died, and I think I might have maybe deleted the message that I left you. Plus, it was, like, super long, so I'll just stick with, like, one little story right now. When I was about 14, in 2003, we moved into a house in Maine, me and my mother, my stepfather, and my little sister. She was about 4 or 5 at the time. She was, I don't think she'd ever really experienced anything paranormal at this point. I had sort of, but didn't really think much of it, didn't really believe that anything was really, like, real, I guess. I don't know. But this house sort of proved to me that it was. Anyway, she would sleep on the couch in the living room, which was connected to the kitchen / dining room, and there was an entire wall of windows from the floor to the ceiling. She reported to my mother on numerous occasions that there was knocking on the windows at night. And it would be a series of 3 knocks and a pause and 3 knocks and a pause, which, you know, was sort of terrifying. Anyway, so this went on for, I don't actually know how long, a couple weeks or a month or more. until my mom finally slept on the couch with her. And at that point in time, I guess my mom has always been sort of sensitive to these things, and but she does a lot of shielding, I guess you would call it, where you just sort of like envision a little space around yourself that's safe spiritually. So she said that she hadn't, you know, really experienced anything since she was a teenager. So she goes and she sleeps on the couch, and I don't think she heard anything the first night, but the second night she wakes up and she hears the knocking, and she looks and there's nothing out of these windows, and you can see, it's, you know, really easy to see at least 15 to 20 feet outside of these windows. And so she, you know, sort of ignores it and goes back to sleep for that night. And the next night it happens again, and then it just reoccurs for another couple of weeks, until she says to my stepdad, you know, you really need to listen and hear this, because he didn't believe that that anything like that would be happening. So he slept on the floor with a rifle, a little air rifle, I think, at the time, and woke up to hear just knock, knock, knock at the window, and he shoots up and goes straight to the window, and there's nothing there. And he's like freaking out. He doesn't really believe in this stuff. He doesn't think that it's possible to hear this at this point in time. And he just can't understand that there's nothing there. So I guess they sat down after that experience and discussed, you know, whether or not it was carbon monoxide poisoning, and that they were all hallucinating. And so they had the house tested. There was nothing. They put in carbon monoxide detectors anyway, but there was nothing that way. And so after all of this, like, the knocking had died down for a while, and he goes to sleep in the living room again with my sister, and he wakes up to the knocking, and he runs outside this time, and there's still nothing there. So, you know, he and my mom take turns sleeping with her and hearing this knocking for a period of like 4 or 5 months, until one night my mother wakes up, rolls over, looks sort of in like the half dream, half awake state where you see things a little bit easier. And she said she saw this white blob, white looking blob with red eyes. And she says, oh, if that's all you are, you need to leave. You are not welcome here. Stop knocking on my house. And that was the end of the knockers. But there was a lot of other experiences with that house, though, and several of which were fairly demonic. So if you want to hear those, I guess I could call or write in another time. Love the show, and hopefully I'll hear this at some point. That'd be kind of cool. I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
Thanks for sharing your story with us at Real Ghost Stories Online. Never would you be so relieved to find out you have a carbon monoxide leak in your home.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes, carbon monoxide. You know,
well, at least you would assume it would be fixable at that point.
Exactly. You can identify it, find some resolve to it, problem solved. But when it just continues to go on and on and on and you have no solution, that's the worst thing that, you know, you could have going on.
At least it seemed to go away, though, when the mom told it to.
Yeah. I'd love to hear some of the other stories that she has. Something I was thinking of when she brought up the carbon monoxide thing, and it really wouldn't apply necessarily to this case because this is kind of an ongoing thing. It happened over and over and over. It wasn't like a one-night occurrence, if you will. I wonder how often it is that people are inadvertently or intentionally, I don't want to say poisoned, but ingest something of a hallucinogen without their knowledge. And then for a night, they think they're having ghosts in their house. And then it goes away. And what I'm meaning by this is like at a restaurant or something. someone slipping something in your food, some rogue chef, some rogue, you know, I'm just shooting a weird idea out there to, you know, something that would explain, because we get stories like that where somebody's like, it happened one night, never happened again. And it was pretty weird and bizarre. And some of them are kind of trippy. And we think, well, carbon monoxide. But then carbon monoxide, too, usually would end up being a reoccurring thing. If the leak's there, it's going to be a leak until you get it resolved.
Mm-hmm.
If it's there and done, I just wonder if that ever happens. You know, essentially, you have people in kitchens who spit in food.
Ew.
Do you ever have anyone in kitchens who do more than that to food? I don't know.
I'm sure there's people that do horrible things to food that they're getting ready to serve.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if there was some kind of, you know, lacing of food with hallucinogenic drugs, that would be something that would have been caught.
I don't know.
Well, there's people that, for one, either know their body well enough to know this is more than just food poisoning.
Sure.
And then there's people who have possibly already done something
had
a similar type reaction and knew what was going on.
Sure.
And then you're like, where the hell did that come from?
Yeah.
So you would be, I think, tracing it back to a restaurant. You'd get probably enough reports.
If it's happening on a regular basis, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's going to happen now is we're going to get emails of news stories going, hey, look. This happened here.
That, or we're going to hear about it next week because you gave somebody an idea.
I hope I did. I'm not trying to give anybody ideas.
Yeah.
I'm just, you know, wondering of, you know, possible explanations.
It's your platform to share your crazy.
It is.
Yep.
It really is, kind of. Caitlin writes in, when I was between 7 and 14 years old, my family moved a lot. One year when I was 9, there was something about our one-year-old house that freaked me out. At 9 years old, parents will almost never believe anything you tell them because most 9-year-olds have a very active imagination and your paranormal stories probably won't seem believable. In 2005, my dad and stepmom moved into this old house in Port Orchard, Washington. The house had a creepy outside look, yet it was quite gorgeous. When I walked into my bedroom for the first time, I screamed. The walls had shadows of hooded figures and strange white light glowed in my closet. At first, even I didn't believe I had seen anything, but a week later, every room I walked into, the door slammed. At night, floors creaked and winds seemed to be blowing hard, except the trees weren't blowing as if there was wind. You could only hear it. But the thing was, neither my dad nor my stepmom ever admitted to seeing and hearing the same things, or anything at all. After a year of living in that house, I'd gotten angry at what seemed to be a ghost. I stood in the basement, in which it always scared me to be in before, and just spoke into the dark. I remember saying something like this, "Please, I've not done any harm, and as long as you do not intend to hurt me, know that I do not intend to hurt or get angry with you." Neither of us had a reason to hate or scare or dislike each other. Feeling confident about what I said, I went up to my bedroom to sing karaoke. As I was singing, the music started to fuzz. Voices murmured through the sound, but I was only able to make out one word, leave. I ran down the stairs to my dad and made him watch a movie with me. I was so happy when my grandma came to pick me up for our week-long trip to Mexico. Fortunately, my dad had to move again for business just before I was about to flip. Within my last month in that house, the sounds at night were more frequent and scarier. And my nightmares consisted of bloody faces whispering, leave.
Do you need to hear any other word when that's the one that you can make out?
Pretty straightforward at that point.
Yeah, pretty loud and clear. I think, you know, it's a good thing you moved because I don't think that's one of those things that would have just, oh, well, it's just going to fade off. It sounds like it was going to continue to escalate.
Continue to escalate. And I think also just the mental anguish that it would cause of prolonged exposure to it.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it doesn't follow you when you eventually, you know, moved out, you know, I think could cause some damage that would be something that would, you know, haunt you mentally, even if not really truly a paranormal experience after you left, for many, many years to come.
Mm-hmm.
More so than it, you know, is now. Sure. I mean, obviously this is something you're not going to forget, but, you know, sitting in that environment for year after year after year, That could seriously mess a person up.
Yes.
Quite a bit. So thank you for sharing that story. We really do appreciate it. 855-853-4802 is our number. Denny writes in. Hi, Tony and Jenny. First of all, I'd like to say that I absolutely love your show. Came across it while searching for some podcast to listen to at work. Even though it scares the hell out of me at times, I've always had a fascination with the paranormal. I'm a firm believer. Currently, I'm listening to all your past episodes. Hey, it's just that good. I'll catch up to the more recent shows soon enough. Throughout my life, I've encountered a couple of paranormal experiences. My family as well. Thought I'd go ahead and share one of my stories, and I'd love to hear your thoughts and opinions. The first paranormal experience I remember happened in 2006 when I was 15 years old. My grandma spent the last 6 months of her life in a hospital. She and I were extremely close, and she was the first family death I ever encountered. About 2 weeks before she passed, she kept saying she saw her mother and past family members. I knew that when one starts to see the deceased family members, death is close. She'd also constantly ask my mom what the date was. I didn't think much of it, but every day we saw her, she'd asked what the date was. She finally ended up passing on April 19th, my grandpa's birthday. He died in 1989, before I was born. I concluded that my grandma was specifically waiting for April 19th so she could be my grandpa's birthday gift. After she passed, a couple of odd things began to happen within my house. My grandma lived with my parents and me, by the way. The day of her funeral, the basement lights kept turning on when no one was down there. Grandma always said she would spook after she died, and I guess she was keeping to her word. She also made her presence known at the church where we had her funeral because after the service, electricity shorted out. About 2 weeks after her passing, I was sitting in the computer room. This is obviously before laptops were popular. Doing some schoolwork when I suddenly felt like someone was watching me. I turned around to look into the bathroom, which was straight across the hall, and I saw a black shadow standing by the laundry hamper. However, I didn't feel threatened or scared. On the contrary, I felt peace and comfort. It just stood there for a couple seconds and then dissolved. Later that night, I decided to take some pictures around the house to see if I could capture anything. After looking through the photos that I took in her room, I spotted a couple of orbs. However, the jackpot picture was the one I took of her dresser mirror. In the corner was the outline of an angel. My grandma was very spiritual and a devout Christian. My mom looked at the photo too, but caught something I didn't notice. The angel was sitting on something. After looking more closely, you can see the faint outline of a person in the mirror, which was shaped like my grandma. It looked like the angel was sitting on her shoulder. I believe this was her way of telling us that she was in heaven and everything was okay. I'll leave it here for now, but if you're interested in any more of my stories, I would be more than willing to share. Again, I love your show and I look forward to hearing more episodes. Hopefully, I'll hear my story when I catch up to recent shows. Keep up the good work, and I'll be in touch soon.
I think sometimes when it's a grandparent that's lived a nice long life mm-hmm. and you have activity after they pass away, I think they're simply just trying to let their loved ones know, hey, it's all good. There's still stuff going on.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not really meant to be a, you know, it's kind of meant to let them know, let your family know that your presence is there, but more so just that things are okay. And mm-hmm. that, you know, they're not going to probably continue to haunt either. It's probably just a very brief.
I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I agree. It's interesting that when some of them hang around for quite a long period of time.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that's if there's unfinished business there or they're just choosing to stick around because they love their family and they want to help and watch out and do what they can from the other side.
See, I just always worried that or wondered if it wasn't just people that didn't know when the right time to leave was in life and mm-hmm. they still don't get it in death.
Probably.
You know, because there's always those people that just don't know. It's like, okay, we're going. Bye. Mm-hmm. You leave too now, you yep. know.
They just hang around.
Yeah.
And hang around. Yeah, probably, you know, I think you probably maintain a similar personality
mm-hmm.
in death and that probably doesn't change all that much.
Probably.
And then it's even more strange when you're a ghost, you know? Stacy writes into us, this story has a backstory. When I was in middle school, the group of girls I would hang out with would frequently have sleepovers at each other's houses and watch scary movies. Not exactly sure why we decided to start playing with a Ouija board, but we did and didn't think anything of it. when we would always play with a Ouija board, we would have to make one ourselves. We had some cool, weird experiences, but nothing really memorable. Fast forward to my freshman year of high school. My best friend, let's call her Julie, was spending the night one evening. So we decided to make a Ouija board. I turned the lights off in my room and lit a few candles, sat on the floor with a wine glass and started trying to communicate. Took a few minutes before anything started to happen. Keep in mind, it was only the two of us using the board. We started to communicate with something, but it wouldn't tell us their name. It did tell us it was bad. At this point, I started to get a bit nervous and skeptical. We tried asking a few more questions, but it didn't answer. All of a sudden, the glass was moving in circles all across the board, sometimes going off the board while making circles. The hair on the back of my neck stood up, and I got goosebumps all over. I quickly looked up at Julie as this was happening and very seriously asked her if she was doing this, and it's not funny. She looked very startled and had genuine fear in her eyes and said, "No, that it's not me, and I thought it was you." I immediately took my fingers off and knocked over the glass out of fear. I know this isn't the proper etiquette when using a Ouija board, but at the time I didn't know there was etiquette. So we quit doing that and didn't talk about it ever. Nothing happened that night while she slept over. Fast forward to my junior year, high school in my district starts pretty early, 7:20 a.m., so I'd set my alarm for 5:45 every morning to shower and get ready for the day. I had a decent-sized room, but my queen-sized bed took up a lot of the space. I'd always leave my ceiling fan on and just pull the string to turn on and off the lights. So one morning, I got up at 5:45. I was very groggy, like anyone that early. Walked to the center of my room, right next to the corner of my bed, to pull the string to turn on the ceiling fan light. As soon as I turned on the light, I froze. I did not see anything out of the ordinary, but I felt pure terror in my stomach. I had goosebumps all over. Felt like something or someone was standing in front of me, looking down at me with such evil intent. I was absolutely petrified. After standing there for a couple of minutes, I guess I finally snapped out of it and decided I needed to get on with my morning. As I walked out my door and into the hallway, I could see my parents' room. My mom's usually up by that time, but this time she wasn't, which I thought was weird. Went into my bathroom and started the water in the shower. The whole time I was in the bathroom, I felt like I was being watched. It was such an overwhelming feeling. I kept looking at the door to my bathroom as I was showering, but I couldn't look over there very long. I was too afraid to look for more than a glance. I kept my head down and quickly finished my shower, as I felt somewhat violated, like I was being forced to shower in front of someone. I got dressed in my room and got my backpack and quickly went to the kitchen to leave. My mom was up by then and was making her lunch. I entered the kitchen and couldn't look at my mom in the face. If I did happen to look at her, it was a quick glance. Felt very shifty and uneasy. My mom knew something was up, but didn't really chalk it up to much. I left and went to school. I got to school and went inside the band hall to hang out with some friends and my boyfriend at the time before we had to go to class. When my boyfriend met up with me in the band hall, he instantly knew something was wrong just by the look on my face. I couldn't even look at him. I was so nervous and scared about what had happened. I felt very paranoid. I told him what happened and we went to class. After school that day, my boyfriend gave me a small wooden cross that you could wear on your neck or keep in your pocket. I took comfort in this and kept it with me. When I went to bed that evening, I decided to keep the cross with me, even while I slept. Earlier, I stated I have a queen-size bed. It's in a corner, so the headboard is on one side of the bed and touching the walls. I always sleep closest to the wall and away from the open side of the bed, just a silly fear I've always had growing up. And I never moved to the other side, not even when I was asleep. So when I'd get in bed for the night, I would always watch TV before going to sleep. I used the pillow on the other side of my bed to place my TV changer and my phone while it charges for the night. I decided to place the wooden cross my boyfriend gave me on the pillow right next to my phone. So in order from outside in is the TV, changer, phone, cross. Took me a while to go to sleep. Wake up in the middle of the night and feel nervous. I felt like I was being watched from the opposite corner of my room. I never saw anything but a shadow, but it was very dark already, so I'm not even sure I saw that. Too scared to do anything, I would just try to ignore it and go back to sleep. I woke up for school the next morning and I noticed that the cross I placed on my pillow was in a different direction. It was turned 90 degrees, to the right perfectly. Nothing else on my pillow was disturbed. I couldn't have rolled on my pillow and moved this cross without disturbing the TV changer or the phone. I know an upside-down cross is a sign of the devil, but since it was turned only 90 degrees to the right, I didn't know what it meant. But if I lay down on the side of the bed I slept facing that pillow, it would technically be facing me. I don't know. It was weird. I thought it was me that moved in the night, and I kept putting it back every night in the correct position. And every morning I'd wake up with it upside down towards me. This went on for 2 weeks, and then I decided enough was enough, and threw the cross across my room. I moved out of that house my senior year. I never found that cross. I don't think whatever I encountered followed me, but never doing a Ouija board again. Thanks for reading. I know it was long. That's the only experience I've ever had, really, and I'm pretty positive it was demonic. Let me know what you guys think. Your show is great. I listen to it so much that I almost exceeded the allowed gigs of data on my phone. I'm proud we were able to almost have you exceed your data limit. Wow.
Yeah. Well, it's a good thing that it stopped when you moved.
That is a good thing. Do you think it was demonic, or do you think it was just some, as you'd say, ornery spirit, you know, kind of someone who's just wants to mess with you? I make you, yeah, if I do this, they're going to think I'm a demon. This is going to be hilarious. Watch this.
Yeah, see, I'm thinking it's more an ornery spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think there would be all kinds of other activity if it was something dark.
Sure.
And it, you know, it makes you wonder when you have a Ouija board session and you're talking to a spirit and you don't end it, are they bound to then stay, or is that like an open invitation?
I don't know technically. This is just my understanding of it. Mm-hmm. So someone can feel free to correct me. I think it means that whatever you have been communicating with in that session is still open.
Mm-hmm.
And still open to communicate with you until it's closed. So I don't know that it remains an open window forever. I don't know, though.
Okay.
I believe it just means like that current session is still, whatever is there was never put back on the ghost shelf.
See, I wondered, and this is going to date me, but you remember how when you used to talk to a friend after school on the phone, on the phone that was on the wall?
Sure.
Old school phone.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't hang it up all the way, and you could hear what was going on in their house.
Mm-hmm.
And then you couldn't make any calls because it was still connected to them.
Yeah.
I kind of wondered if it was something like that, to where they're kind of stuck and they can't move on. And you essentially think the conversation's over and you're doing stuff, but they're actually still kind of listening because they can't let go.
Yeah. I could, that's a good, I think, analogy.
Okay.
To what is going on there, if my understanding is correct.
Did you ever have that happen?
With the phone thing?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Okay.
And that's something that some of our younger listeners will never understand, because landlines don't really exist all that much anymore.
Yeah.
It's pretty much, I mean, you could actually call yourself, too.
Mm-hmm.
There's ways of doing that. And I remember joking with my parents sometimes once I figured that trick out. You could dial your phone number, hang up the phone really quick. Your phone rings at your house. Did you ever do this?
Mm-mm.
Your phone in your house will ring. And then if just one person picks up, it's going to be no one there. And then they'll just hang up the phone and it'll reset the line. But if you're in the other room and you can hear when the other person picks up, you can also then pick up on your end really quick and the lines will connect again. And essentially you just called yourself, but you can then, you know, you can prank call your parents or something from the other room.
I never knew you could do that.
Yeah.
That would have been so much fun.
It's a little tricky, you know, because you have to have just, you know, the right timing and all of it. And I don't know if it would work so much anymore, just because everything is so digital now with phones, including a lot of phone connections are digital. I know the old analog lines you could do that with. I don't know so much about current, just because I don't know. I think we actually have home phone service here because it's like required with the internet service we have.
Yeah.
But we don't have any landlines hooked up.
No, so all we ever got were telemarketers.
Yeah.
So we just decided we didn't need that.
And even I got sick of messing with telemarketers.
Yeah.
I did. I ran out of ideas and things to say to them. Believe it or not.
Wow.
But I've had this bank of things building up in my mind, so maybe I should reconnect a line somewhere just for...
No, now you just mess with the DirecTV salesman at the hardware store.
That's fun. I love going up and talking to him. My latest one, which I've yet to do, because they play a lot of soft rock, more like soft classic rock,
mm-hmm.
at the hardware store. And this guy, it's so obnoxious. It's like every... You don't even have to like approach his stand. You just need to be like within 50 feet of it.
Yeah.
You can be by the dog food and he'll come walking up to you and be very aggressively trying to get you to go to his service there. So what I want to do next time is I hope there's a great, you know, light rock song playing, maybe Righteous Brothers or something. And then just start quoting the lyrics of the song back to him as he asks questions, you know,
mm-hmm.
and then just see how long it takes him to walk away.
And see, when Tony does these things, that's my cue to go shop for whatever I want to shop for and just leave him there.
It's so much fun.
Mm.
I love every minute of it. We should have you like stand off with the camera phone. We could get it on YouTube.
I don't want to be anywhere near you when you're doing that shit.
Why?
Because I'm not like that. I get embarrassed. I can't do that.
It's fun.
You don't get embarrassed.
No, not really. I
don't think I've ever seen you be embarrassed.
It's just fun.
Ugh.
It's harmless fun. I'm not hurting anyone.
No.
I'm just, you know, and I think at the end of the day, they walk away. You won't believe what this guy said to me today. good times. If you like the show, please support it. Help keep us on the air. Become an EPP. That's an extra podcast person. You sign up on the website at realghoststoriesonline.com. Only $5 a month. You get all the bonus episodes, bonus video content, and more. Check it out, realghoststoriesonline.com. And thank you in advance for that. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.